Time to market can be the ultimate difference in your embedded design, and we all know what a drag it is to be running around gathering the stuff you need to prepare to do a job instead of actually doing it. It's a lot more fun actually doing the job. With those two things in mind, we'll take a look today at a different way to do things and get your ideas moving a lot faster. Hello and welcome to everybody. This is Don Dingy with Open Systems Media. I'll be your moderator for our program on how to jumpstart embedded software development, sponsored by the Intel Embedded Alliance and featuring Contron and Wind River. In this program, I will have a quick tour of your viewing experience. I'll have a couple thoughts interspersed with video demos from our expert guests, and we'll take your questions with the entire panel live in a question and answer session. If you've been with us before, today's a bit different, so welcome back.
I think we popped it already.
Keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times, and if it's your first time with us, thanks for joining, and welcome aboard. Let's look out the window just a second. You are seeing slides on the right half of your screen, and I promise you there's going to be a bunch of good stuff on them. If you'd like, you can go to a larger view just by clicking Enlarge Slides. You can also download the slides we're using today and get a better look at them by clicking the Download button. You can invite a friend who should be watching this. And the thing that's cool today about watching this is you'll be seeing a flash video. You can choose your preference of normal size or full size on that demonstration. And finally, on the lower left-hand side of the screen, there's the Ask a Question box. I'll be selecting questions from your submissions for our Q&A session right after the presentation. Just type in that box and hit Submit Question. We'd be glad to see what your thoughts are at any time, and I'll be going through those, like I said. So, with that, let's have a couple of quick thoughts from me, and then we'll get to some experts that actually know what they're doing here. I like to think of this as a time-to-market issue, right? When you take stuff out of the box, it's kind of nice if it all works together. What we really are trying to do here is get your ideas out and get them running much faster. So open box, open mind. These embedded devices, all kinds of things, medical, industrial, tablets, all kinds of cool things. Start with an idea, but like I said, it's a real drag to go off and find everything you need to get that implemented. So let's think about this another way. Maybe there's a way to take, say, an Atom processor on a module and combine that with some interesting real-time software, including an operating system and a graphical user interface development environment. And maybe that would come all in one box with some boards and some cables and some things that would go together and actually work out of the box and get your ideas rolling a lot faster. That is exactly what we are here to discuss today. And it's a pleasure to bring in our first couple of speakers with a presentation. I'm going to introduce them both before we begin. First of all, I'd like to introduce Christine Vandegraff. She is Product Manager for Contron America's Embedded Modules and Small Form Factor SPC Product Families. Christine has over a decade of experience working in the embedded computing technology industry and holds an MBA in Marketing Management from Cal State University East Bay, Hayward. Dana Powell is also a presenter this morning. He is a Senior Sales Operations Engineer with Wind River. He has over 20 years of experience in embedded systems design and development. He's held various positions, including Technical Account Manager and Strategic Networking Accounts at Wind River and Mentor Graphics, and Software Architecture and Embedded Design of Carrier-Grade Networking Equipment at Newbridge Networks. He's currently part of a team designing and implementing the live USB evaluation software, which we will find more out about shortly here, for partner solutions at Wind River. And I'd like to go ahead and introduce Christine Vandegraff and have her begin our presentation. Christine, all yours.
Thank you, Don. I hope everyone can hear me well and that you all are having a good morning or afternoon, depending on your location. As Don said, we're going to be going over what are some of the better ways of implementing software on hardware, especially in the case of an industry ideal real-time OS, which is the VxWorks system. So what we'll be doing, just to give you a quick overview, is going over kind of the old way of doing things as opposed to what we, meaning Contron and Wind River, see as a new and improved way of doing things. We'll also be talking a bit about what we see as the value that we that our collaboration brings to you, the users, and looking at what we can do not just today but going forward. This helps us lead right on into the demo video you'll see, and then, of course, we'll open up the floor to lots of questions, and I'm sure you have quite a few. So at this point, I'm going to pass on over to Dana, and he's going to start going into what are the past challenges and, of course, what we see as the better way going forward. Dana?
Great. Thank you, Christine. I'm Dana Powell, and I have two slides that I would like to present to you. And let me, I think I went too far. Back up one. Does everyone see the past challenges slide? Okay, great. So I'm going to be spending about 10 minutes or less going over the next two slides, and I feel they're very, very important to actually articulate a frame of reference to show you the type of innovation that we've done for jump-starting embedded software development. And here's a pretty bold statement I have up here saying, depending on the complexity of the hardware and the runtime platform, the bring-up can take up to 5-plus man weeks. As a matter of fact, I would say that this is pretty conservative. I'd say the time between getting your CAD software and actually having some sort of prototype and being productive can be on the order of double or more, depending on what you actually have to go through. And one of the key things of the past that would cause the time to actually get your application up and running, the vast amount of time to get up and running, was the onus was actually put on the embedded software developer to do a lot of problem solving up front. So, for example, I'm not going to go over all these common questions, but the software developer would have to see if the software and the hardware were compatible. You know, how do I boot the software? How do I configure it? Where do I get it, et cetera? So I think the best way to put things into context is for me to begin with explaining a typical workflow that an embedded software developer would use when he wanted to go through the prototype phase, from taking CAD software out of the box to where he was actually productive and he could show something to his manager. So let's just, I'm sure some of you will be familiar with this, but let's just kind of walk through a workflow. So here's a scenario. I'm a software developer. I have some COTS hardware platform from a company like, for example, Contron that's sent to me. So I go and pull this thing out of the box. I pull out some manuals, and I put the modules together, plug in the power supply, et cetera, and probably only takes me, say, five minutes, you know, 30 minutes tops till I actually have something that I think is working. I have an LED. Now I have to put some software on it. So first thing I'm going to need is some sort of board support package for the embedded software. So I'll probably go back to the hardware vendor and ask them, and they might have a BSP for me for something like VxWorks or Linux, et cetera, or they might say, you know, you have to go to the embedded software vendor to get it. But the major thing that they can't do for you is you actually have to go back to the embedded software vendor to get some sort of development environment and some evaluation license. So the next step would be you'd be talking to another company which is selling the embedded software, and you'd request an evaluation license, and they'd say, "Oh, we'll send someone out to go talk to you," which is probably only a half an hour meeting, but it takes time to schedule. So your downtime might be a couple days, might be a week. So the embedded software vendor would come, and they'd set you up with an evaluation license, and they'd give you the paperwork, and you might have to get your manager to sign it, or might have to go through your procurement. And then that would go back to them, and then they'd start that through their chain. So it would go through their licensing, order fulfillment, all the way down the chain until it's actually shipped from their factory to your lab, which might take a couple days, might take a week. So now you have the actual media. So you go, you say, "Hey, I'm going to install this stuff." So you walk up and you say, "Hey, you know what? I don't want to put this on my host machine. I don't have enough storage, and I'm not really sure about it. So let me find a lab machine." So you find a lab machine, and hey, the host operating system that I'm running isn't really compatible with the host tool. So I might have to add some patches or reinstall the software. So now I've done all that. It's time to get going. So I take the media, I sit in the lab, and I press enter, and I go through the installation process. It might take a half a day, and when I'm done installing this vast amount of software, I look at the errata sheet, and, oh, I need some patches. So I go and figure out how do I get the patches. Maybe there's a URL. Maybe I don't have an account set up. So I go back again to the to the sales team and ask them, you know, how to get the software. So, make a long story short, at some point, I'm going to have all the software I've already pre-installed, and I'm going to want to configure the system. So I bring it up, I use the manuals, and we talk to tech support. Finally, I have what I believe is my development environment configured. So now I have to figure out how I'm going to get build software and put it on the board. So there's many different ways you can, you know, you can boot software. It might be a ROM monitor. It might be I have to flash something on there, a boot ROM on there. There might be other technologies involved. Like I have to download something through FTP or TFTP. So I'm going to have to make sure the server side is configured so I can actually go through my network and grab this. So that'll take more time, maybe a couple hours. So I set that up, and now it's time to get going. So I bring up my software, and I'm going to configure the operating system and try to see if I get a prompt. So I go and I configure it and make sure I have the right device drivers, make sure the networking's set up, I make sure my UART's set up, etc. Then I go and build the software, and then I go and configure the boot ROM to see if I can boot it. And, hey, I don't get anything. I see nothing over my UART. I see nothing. And you know what? I go back and say, what did I do wrong? Well, there's 100 different things you could have done wrong, right? There's nothing that says I did A, B, then C, and I should have running software. So then you go back to the vendor and say, how can you help me out? And they might send someone on site, or you might go through tech support, and then eventually you might actually have software running. And maybe it was a dip switch. It might have been something just so simple, but there's too many variables to go through. So now I have a boot ROM. Sorry, now I have an operating system up and running, and I'm ready to debug it. So I go in and decide to set up a debugger. I go through the step of configuring the tools and object path mappings and stuff you have to do for connectivity. It seems to be talking all right. Now I'm ready to do my prototyping. So where do I start? Well, no software came with it, with the development. All I got was a BSP, which is just boots the thing out of reset. So I begin to write some software. As I go down this path, I find myself running into all sorts of problems. My debugger's not helping. I go back to the field and ask the embedded software vendor, what should I do? And they say, there's tons of tools. Just use them. And I say, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to use the tools. I don't know how to configure them. Anyhow, I think everybody gets the message. There's a lot of time and a lot of effort that's spent on things that, you know, you guys being smart people shouldn't have to worry about. So what are lessons learned here? The whole ideal here is what we should have done a long time ago was to begin with the end in mind. So the better way of doing thing is of doing your jumpstarting your development is to incorporate these key goals. Have software that's already pre-married and integrated with the hardware, tested and validated. Have vendors coming together where they actually have their business practices aligned together, so they're putting out a comprehensive system story. Give some real-world application examples so they can actually get started from somewhere. So now I'm going to spend another minute explaining how the new workflow would work. Well, in this case, instead of going off and grabbing your hardware and then trying to find a BSP, you'd go to a company like Contron and say, hey, you know what, I want a starter kit for Wind River Linux or VxWorks, whatever it is that runs on that module. They would send you the complete package. You'd open it up. You'd pull out a getting started guide, a few pages long. It wouldn't go through, you know, every feature in the development platform, but what it would say would say, plug in this cable here, plug in this cable here, boot it. 5 minutes later, you would have a system booted with an operating system running a real-life application. So that's 5 minutes invested. Then now you have to think about how am I going to do my development. So the next thing you do is you pull out a USB stick that's actually in the box. You plug it into your laptop. It doesn't touch your hard drive. And now 2 minutes later, it's booted something up. You click on your shrink wrap license agreement instead of having to go out and get a bunch of signatures. Prompts you to put in your user information, goes out on the internet, brings you back a license. I've invested approximately 15 minutes tops getting a board up and running, the development up and integrated and running, and I have a license to begin my development. So what next? I don't know what I'm doing. Well, why not go through a bunch of tutorials that are tailored to the user being productive right away? The first thing I'm going to do is run the pre-built demo, the stuff I already have running on the board. Bring up the tools, I connect to the software that's running on the board, and I start debugging and stepping through it. So, hey, you know, I'm an expert now. I have the warm and fuzzies now. Now, what's the next thing I do? Well, in the box, what we've done is we've also given you a bunch of tutorials tailored to your workflows, not tailored to the tools, but tailored to the things you as an embedded developer would do on a daily basis. Debugging a kernel, debugging user mode applications, maybe developing an HMI application. So then you can go through, choose to run the tutorials you want, look at the videos, go through the manuals. Your total investment is maximum of about one man day. And not only do you have something up and running on the board, but you can go to your manager and say, I got this running, and by the way, I'm a pseudo-expert on all the tools. And you know what? I also have one of the key values here is I have somewhere to begin. I have a demo application that they put for the specific board on running right now, and all I have to do is tailor that to my own use. Pretty compelling. This is really innovative stuff. I'll pass the baton.
Thank you, Dana. So as you really all heard, the value here is that you don't have to go digging in a lot of different places or running to a lot of different people to get up and running very quickly. The example that we show here is the collaboration between Contron and Wind River to create the Nano ATX Express VxWorks starter kit. This is pretty representative of what we offer for a lot of the Comm Express solutions and similar to what's possible with the other solutions that Contron offers. And it's really one of the benefits of Contron and Wind River working together. It's a very solid runtime OS, both the VxWorks and Linux variations, and very solid products in terms of the hardware. You have your computer on module, your carrier board, and everything that you really need to get started. You don't have to go running around in your lab to be able to find the pieces that go together and know that they'll start and run right away. You have also the added reassurance here that it is an industry standard. The Nano ETX Express itself is compatible with the Comm Express Type 1 pinout. The footprint is smaller than what's currently defined, but it's 100% compatible in terms of the pinout definition as well as the placement of the connectors on the backside of the board. So if you're working with currently a Comm Express pinout Type 2 or another Comm Express pinout, there is some consistency and shareability across your platform as long as you have your carrier board defined to be able to follow the pinout that you're working with. And again, you are working with an established hardware designer who can give you the benefits and the help that you need. As I said, everything you need is in the box. You are also getting a reference design carrier board, which means that you can either use that carrier board to go into your production, or if you need something a little bit more unique and special, that serves as your reference design, and you can do a one-off from there or work with Contron to do a one-off that we provide to you, or even have us review your schematics to be able to get to that next level. You have your module, which has all of your memory, your storage space, nice and compact, capability of running in extreme temperatures. All of the hardware is very good, and then you pair it together with very solid software that has some application examples on it, as well as a nice complete tool bench and the Tilcon graphics suite. So you really don't have much to want for, and that's what we were really striving to achieve. I'm going to pass the baton back to Dana real quick to go through the Wind River Live USB, because that's one of the biggest additions that you get in here that maybe you're not getting with another toolkit out there. So Dana?
So as I had mentioned before, in my second workflow was the capabilities that a USB live environment will give the user. And the value is everything is pre-tested, pre-integrated, optimized, and running in its self-contained environment. It doesn't touch your operating system on your host computer, doesn't touch your hard drive. And the key element here is simplicity. You'll see that I have an actual picture. This was from the Contron Nano ETX Express SP starter kit, and I actually have a screenshot here showing some of the major components. So you have a USB stick, it boots on any computer. You also get basically two documents on stick. One is a Getting Started Guide, the same Getting Started Guide that you have in paper form in your kit. And there's also the step-by-step tutorial guide that comes with it and the associated video. So anything you have on in the tutorial is available in a PDF format and in video, so you can watch it actually happen in real time. You also get the Wind River development environment for developing, running, debugging, prototyping your embedded systems. And depending on the offering, you might also get a Wind River offering, for example, the Tilcon IDT for actually doing prototypes of your HMI systems. You also, and this is very, very key, you get the runtime software for VxWorks or Wind River Linux that's optimized and tested for that specific board that you were shipped. So we test, we validate, not only do we validate with our standard tests, but we actually go through the use cases. And the videos you actually see on that live USB stick are actually done on that target reference board. So you can see in the picture on the side, here's where a user would be going through the built-in application that booted right out of the box and maybe setting a breakpoint. And you can see the tools are on your right-hand side, and on your top left-hand side, you'll see the video is running. And on the bottom left-hand side, you can see the tutorial guide is open. So they're showing you the same thing in two different ways. So this is basically the live USB in a nutshell. There's other features that are involved, but I thought I'd hit the key components. Christine?
Thank you, Dana. So as you see, there's a lot that you get just in terms of hardware and software directly in the kit, but that's not really all you get. The greater benefit here is your limited risk. Everything you get is pre-qualified and pre-integrated and even pre-configured, so that really all you have to do is plug it in and start working. The software comes complete and has everything you need in it, and you don't have to worry about how your host and your target talk to each other. That's part of the pre-integration within having some software already put on the USB that doesn't have to go into your hard drive that goes on your host, then can quickly talk to your target. You're also not having to worry about having to start completely building things from ground zero. That was one of the things that I think you probably understood from Dana's early on illustration. The old way really meant that you had to start completely from scratch every time. And you may have a BSP that's coming from a vendor such as Contron. We do offer BSPs as well. But when you're not working with a full kit that has everything already pre-integrated, you're having to figure out how to put all of those pieces together, and that takes time. And time, of course, as we know, equals money. So we want to make sure, and that's part of one of the other great benefits that you get by working with Contron and Wind River for these kits is that you get to market quickly. So you're able to really maximize your investment here and be able to be productive right from the start and get to market quickly so that you can start realizing income. We want to make sure also that it's not just quick time to market for the current generation, but also with next generations. And you'll see that when I go into the next slide to show you what other platforms Contron and Wind River have collaborated on, both currently and also going forward. And portability, we know, is very key, because you're not always going to be maybe working in a Comm Express platform, but maybe you'll be working in a VPX platform or an advanced MC or an advanced TCA. All of these different platforms have some similarities, and you have to be able to have the software you're working with should be able to be portable enough so that if you have similar applications but that need to go into different systems, you have that ability to make things portable and not, again, have to start from scratch every time and make that investment over and over again. We also want to, even if you are staying within the same platform, say a Comm Express going from an Atom to a dual core to maybe a Core i7 or what's still next to come, you have the ability to have that scalability as well. So that's what I want you to be able to see in the next slide. As you see, we've got, and I haven't listed our specific products here because they're very, Contron has a very wide portfolio of products from the modules all the way up through the system. So I've stuck here to talking about industry standards that we've collaborated in creating kits for. as well as having some VSPs for. ComExpress has been one of the core focuses from my group on developing the VxWorks kits to go with. We also have done some collaboration for Wind River Linux. So you see ComExpress goes across everything except for the Xeon. We haven't seen that as the key fit within the very traditional deeply embedded space, such as the HMIs or medical machines and so on, which tend to want to be small and low power for the types of applications that need to be a bit portable. For motherboards and SBCs, we have collaborated across the board with everything except for Atom at this time, because these tend to be a little bit more high performance and can accommodate a larger power envelope. And then into the system area, now you may see TBDs here. That doesn't mean that we're not considering doing anything. It means that they're either as a custom solution right now or that we have some collaboration going forward, and we'll be making announcements about those in the future. So as you see, looking at this now and looking forward slide, Contron and Wind River have collaborated quite a bit, and not just in the recent history, but over the long period of time that both organizations have been in existence. So you have that added reassurance, too, that you're working with well-established groups that aren't just going to pass away quickly. So before we get to the video demo, which I'm sure you're all looking forward to, I want to pass this back to Dana, because I know one of the other key topics from both what we see as a requirement in the industry and also what Intel sees as key is the ability for hypervisor. So Dana?
Thanks, Julie. I'm actually, in the interest of time, I'm going to skip over this, but one of the things I wanted to make everybody aware of is in the context of these starter kits, I have been talking, and Julie, or sorry, and Christine was talking about, in the context of the VxWorks and the Wind River Linux operating system, we also have other offerings that are coming out that leverage our hypervisor technology. And it might actually have VxWorks and Linux, or maybe bare metal and VxWorks. And I'm not going to talk a lot about this. I'm just going to say about a couple of the key values. Three things you'd use this for. One is a consolidation play where you might have, say, a Unix application, a VxWorks application you want to put on the same silicon. Maybe it's a capacity application where you want to leverage, for example, the Intel VT technology and our hypervisor technology to put a whole bunch of instances of an operating system on a multi-core. Or maybe it's in certification where you want to run a whole bunch of applications and only have to certify one if you change it. But I just want to make everyone aware that hypervisor applications are part of our starter kits going forward.
Okay, with that, I think it's back to me. We have a video, as we promised, and it is starring the two speakers that we heard, Christine and Dana. They're going to go into a little bit more of a demonstration for you here and show you just how easy this starter kit concept is. So with that, I'm going to hit the advance button and start the video. Please enjoy the clip. you had questions about the presentation or what you just saw in the demonstration, feel free to bring those in. I want to start the audience presentation, audience preparation part of this program, where we take on some of your best questions. You guys have sent in some great stuff. A reminder, our guests today are Christine Vandegraff of Contron, Dana Powell of Wind River, and we are being joined by two people from Intel, and I'll introduce them before we start. Mindy Murdoch is a software product marketing engineer. She's held a variety of positions with Intel over the last 15 years. She started within the Embedded Intel Architecture Group, working directly with customers and vendors on optimizing for the latest processors. After 7 years of that, she turned her attention from the embedded market to Intel's advanced next-generation processors for the mobile, desktop, and server markets, where she managed the multi-core product launch to the software community. She's recently returned to the Intel Embedded and Communications Group. She holds a BS degree in computer science from the Rochester Institute of Technology. And also joining us is Tim O'Reilly. He's a software technical marketing engineer with Intel's Embedded and Communications Group. His career spans 30 years, the last 13 at Intel, where he's held a variety of positions from server platform validation to technical training in hardware and software technical marketing. He's currently supporting the low-power embedded platforms like the Intel Atom processor, and he holds a bachelor's degree in business and information systems management from the University of Phoenix. So with that, we are ready for some questions. And the first one is kind of a tone setter for Mindy, if we can get all the panelists to come off of mute and join us. Mindy, we have an interesting question here. So, you know, Intel Atom processors are aiming for smaller devices, more like what ARM and MIPS architectures have been targeting for embedded. And I think it's a clear case for Atoms in things like netbooks and tablets, but what reasons would you give for embedded designers to take a closer look at the Atom processor in the context we're seeing today?
So thanks for the question. I think this is actually a very easy question for me to answer. Really, the reason why people need to start looking at Atom is it's low power and it's high performance, and that's what people are looking for in the smaller devices, and I think maybe areas that Intel has not had as many products that could have played in those areas, and Atom is a perfect fit. It also has mature tool support from, you know, kind of what we call our corporate Intel, our Intel's core business. It's got the software support there. It's just, and we also have, you know, the board support. So we have a nice, robust ecosystem that's around our Atom product. And really, it's the low power and high performance that you're going to see from Atom.
Great, thank you. Christine Vandegraff from Contron. Why did Contron partner up with Wind River for this particular kit? How did this come about?
Well, Contron has actually had quite a bit of a relationship with Wind River over the years, from developing BSPs for PC-104 solutions as well as for early comm solutions. And so it was really the natural progression. Additionally, we see a lot of demand from the industry looking for more easy-to-use solutions and other tools to be able to make developing with Wind River VxWorks and with Wind River Linux easier. So we wanted to be able to partner with Wind River more completely and be able to make it better. That's the short answer.
It's a great answer. Thank you. So let's turn to our Wind River person, Dana Powell. You mentioned in the demonstration and your slides, and one of the things you work on a day-to-day basis, the live USB environment. Can you tell us exactly what's in it, and can it be installed on a hard drive, or does it have to be on that USB stick, and how's it licensed? Maybe give us a little more detail on that.
So the USB live USB stick is actually currently an environment that boots. Right now it's Fedora 11, but we're moving to Fedora 13. It actually boots an operating system, and the shrink wrap license and the registration process will get you a 30-day evaluation that's transferable on that key. So the license is tied to the actual key in question. So once you've registered, you have 30 days to actually do the evaluation. And all the software that you need to do your prototyping based on the starter kit is on that key. So, for example, Everything comes with Wind River Workbench, which is a development environment for VxWorks and Wind River Linux and hypervisor development. And it might have other types of software on there, for example, the Tilcon graphics tools. All the videos are on the disk. Every use case that we've come up with is in video format, and it's also on a PDF format. And the question about how you do your development, well, right now it comes out on a USB stick, and there's persistent storage, so you can do your development there. But if you choose to want to leverage, say, faster speeds of the faster disk speeds and more memory, there's actually a feature whereby you can click on an icon and it'll install that live USB environment and all the Wind River software on a hard drive. So hopefully that answered the question.
I think it does. There's a couple follow-ups here. So you mentioned it's on a Fedora environment. Is it only a Linux system? Do you also have a Windows option?
No. Well, right now, it's the whole idea here is our tool suite is based on Eclipse, so it's pretty portable across operating systems. So it has the same look and feel. But what we try to do is to find a control whereby we test and validate the out of box experience on an OS. So it's really meant to give you an autonomous system that is pre-integrated out of the box. And we just happen to choose Fedora as that vehicle. So nothing against Windows. Licensing was much easier for using Fedora.
Right. And this is a mixed development environment, right? You're actually, the host is communicating with the target. So the code compilation is actually occurring on the host, and then there's an RTOS application actually downloaded to the target, if I have this correct.
Well actually, it's the premise behind our embedded system development is cross development. So you compile and you optimize your systems on the host environment, and then you run them on the target. So we provide the agents the ability to boot out of the box and communicate to our real-time agents on the target side, but everything is done on the development, and all the runtime control is done on the host.
Got it. Cross-development is the right word. Thank you for populating that for me. Appreciate it. Tim O'Reilly with Intel. Mindy mentioned something in her response that, you know, it's about tools maturity, and I think one idea here is portability. So this kit obviously gets you going faster on an Atom Z500 series type of a family. But what if a developer wants to move to something else, maybe another member of the Atom family, or maybe up and down to, say, Core i7? Without the specifics of the Wind River environment, how portable is software developed for Atom? Can it cross families? Can it move up to a Core i7? Can you address that at a larger scale?
Well, the whole premise behind our scalability is software portability, and we do absolutely have the flexibility not only to port across the Atom family, but up to the higher power processors.
Okay. Hopefully I let you complete that answer. So let's see. Let me get caught up with some of the audience questions here. Christine Vandegraaff from Contron. This is the one difference about this starter kit is, if I understand it correctly, the Nano ETX Express SP module is certainly production ready. I'm not sure about the carrier card, and in some cases people may want to create their own carrier cards. Could you speak to an OEM using the starter kit and how ready it is for production?
Certainly. Both the module and the carrier board actually are production ready. The carrier board is, we have designed as a reference design, but we do have several, there are several places where it can be used in production, and the way that Contron works is it was designed that it could be used as a production unit. Also, because we've designed it as a reference design, it is an item too that the information about this board and how to make even a one-off design of the board is available. We have a lot of information for this carrier board as well as some other carrier boards available in our customer section online. And then as you're developing your carrier boards and if you need schematic review help, Contron has our experts globally that can happily review the designs and help you with that as well to determine is everything routed correctly or do you need to make an adjustment there so that you don't run into an issue later on down the line. To go back to the main question, the carrier board itself, the HMI carrier board that's used in this kit is production ready. We also have a mini ETX Express carrier board that is production ready as well. It has a few more ports that are brought out on it, but it is nice and small, and also it's been proven in extended temperatures. So a few good points to share.
And there's an audience question here, if I could keep you for a second, about a customer working on smart grid, smart metering, and looking at Atom and having some familiarity with PCI 104. How interoperable can this be with maybe some of your PCIe 104, PCI 104 Express type of products? Is there any crossover you can point out there?
There actually is a bit of crossover. We do have a PCI 104 board that is based on the same chipset and system controller, so there is portability between the two. Now, we have not created a kit with it at this time, so you're not going to have as many tools as you have with the Nano ETX Express Starter Kit, but you do have the ability to be able to carry the information over from one system to another. We probably need to address that on a more one-on-one basis with this particular person. So if Brian wants to contact Contron, we can definitely address it more specifically offline.
Thank you. I should have mentioned that at the start. We are seeing all of your questions, and some of them fall into the your mileage will vary kind of a category. So the teams will get a chance to look at these post-event and may follow up with you directly, as Christine said, where more details or more discussion is merited. So appreciate you mentioning that, Christine. Thank you. Let's try Dana Powell from Wind River. When the Tilcon environment powered up, I noticed you mentioned a couple of use cases. I would refer to them as sample applications. We saw medical and industrial when the kit started up. Could you tell us a little bit more about what's actually in that kit as far as the use cases, applications that you've looked at?
Great question. One of the things to note here is the starter kits, what we're tending to do is we have some starter kits that are really tailored at a general purpose compute platform. We have some others that are really tailored to some type of vertical space. And in that video happened to be the Nano ETX Express. And so what we did was we bundled an HMI application. Not only did we do an HMI application, but we bundled our Tilcon tool suite for creating HMI applications. And what you saw there was it was a demo series of screens that showed you medical. There was like a brain scan. There was some of them were industrial and medical applications that focused on the user interface for some sort of box that would be controlled for using the medical devices. So, where it's very, very critical that the doctor or nurse or technician understand how to use this. So we actually give you a production quality application, but we also give you the tools. And when you mentioned use case and the application, well, there are orthogonal concepts. The use case puts you through a workflow of developing or debugging the application in question. So what we do is we provide the tools in a use case to create your own sample application, HMI application on that board from scratch. Basically, pull up a blank screen and it walks you through, I think you saw in the video, the tire gauge demo. Well, that thing's actually created. You make the buttons, you give the buttons, say what to do when you hit a button and all that control stuff. You prototype that completely in the simulation environment on your host. So with the look and feel, and that's one of the values behind Tilcon Graphics. And then when you're done getting it right, you download it to the target and you run it on the target. So that's the kind of scenario. The starter kit gets the user up in developing applications right away, prototyping them and running them on the board.
Super, thank you. I'm going to aim one closing question at all four of our panelists here, and then we're going to go ahead and wrap up. So, Tim O'Reilly from Intel, we'll have everybody answer the same question. What's the one thing you hear from your customers? You're living with your customers. What's the one thing you hear all the time that is solved by this starter kit approach that really excites you?
Very quick development and fast time to market.
Okay, super. Mindy, same question. What's exciting about this starter kit approach for you?
Again, I have to go with fast time to market. That's always the customer. That's always the big demand.
Okay, great. And Christine Vandegraaff, same question.
Time to market is definitely key, but really the way we achieve that in this kit is what I think is the biggest way that we address it, in that there's everything together and everything has been proven together, so it's just a matter of plugging things in. Also, the not having to start from scratch by having these sample use cases in there, that also is a key thing that we've addressed.
Super. And Dana Powell.
I'd say what's really very compelling is both management and the engineers are actually excited to get going from the get-go, because it not only does it get the user, the engineer, up and running very quickly, it also has it's self-directed and gets the and basically adds to the proficiency of the user. So it walks them through the scenarios, and at the end, not only do they get things out quicker, but they're more educated.
Super. I want to thank everybody for a fantastic presentation and a great question and answer session. We have just heard about how to jumpstart embedded software development from our featured guests, Christine Vandegraaff and Dana Powell, along with Mindy Murdoch and Tim O'Reilly. Thanks to all of them for sharing their expertise, and to Contron, Wind River, and the Intel Embedded Alliance for their sponsorship today. There is a URL at the top of your screen for more information on finding out about these starter kits and ordering them. Please follow that to track down the information related to the kit. That will answer a lot of your questions. This event and other eCasts on topics like these are archived at the URL, also shown at the bottom of your screen. These archived eCasts can be replayed at your convenience. We'd enjoy hearing how we did with this program. Please contact us at the email address shown. That would be Christine Long, our omnipotent one of all things online, who makes these events go. Thanks to her, as always, and thanks to all of you for being with us during this program. Please join us again on behalf of our guests and all of us here at Open Systems Media. This is Don Dingy saying, find something good, build something better, and help someone be happy today. Please join us soon. See you soon.